The wonderful voice of Teddy Swims there and Lose Control. It's 16 minutes past nine. Now, today we have Alessandra Patti with us again. She is the founder of Find Your Way Coaching. She's a professional trainer and consultant for mental well-being and communication in the workplace. Today we're talking about the link between self-esteem and health, particularly good health. Today's topic is centered around the question, can high self-esteem help with things like physical health and even professional success? Hi, Alessandra. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning, everyone. Hi, Kat.
So, Alessandra, can you start then? The link between, let's start with the professional success. Can you tell us about a link between self-esteem and professional success? Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure, happy to. So perhaps it first helps to define what self-esteem is, right? So self-esteem in general is the belief that we are adequate to life, so to say. It's a general perception that we have of our own worth and value. So if we translate this into the professional, it's really the belief in my own abilities to perform tasks or to interact with colleagues, and also to contribute meaningfully to my organization, to my work environment, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's quite, of course, like well understood why a strong sense of self-esteem helps in contributing with others, makes us also more resilient towards professional challenges, so to say, mm-hmm. and also better communicators. It's a kind of calm that comes from being at ease with ourselves. You know, when we have less self-doubt, when we are believing in our abilities and in our self-worth, then it's much easier to work, it's much easier to feel fulfilled, right? And the workplace with high self-esteem, actually, according to research, is also okay with people making mistakes and learning from them, right? It's not a workplace where everyone needs to be perfect, so to say. It's more about excellences, as psychologists call it right now.
Excellencism? What's, yeah. I'm going to ask you. Excellencism as opposed to perfectionism. Excellencism is what exactly?
Yeah, well, excellencism is actually the excellence that calls for people to seek higher standards. So it's good to have higher standards, but still having a flexible approach, meaning I can make mistakes, I can learn from them, and I don't have to be perfect. Because if you think of perfection, it's kind of an unattainable standard that, and there is no potentially end to it, right? So we can always go for more and more and more. It can be very demoralizing on a psychological level.
So, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested as well between the difference between self-confidence and self-esteem. There is a very, very subtle difference. And I went and just looked up the difference there. Self-esteem is more to do with how a person perceives their own value and self-worth. Self-confidence is a person's attitude to their capabilities and skills. It's such a subtle difference between those two things.
Very much so. Also because self-confidence can really vary across different areas of life. So, for example, I could be confident in one area, but still have lower self-esteem in general. So I might have a lower perception of myself, but still being confident in a specific area, because there is just so much that influence self-esteem, like past experiences, social comparisons, my beliefs about myself. So this is why it's so nuanced and so different in a way.
Yeah, so I can see how it could be linked very easily linked with your professional career. Let's move on and talk about the health, though. Can you walk me through the links that you're saying that exist between increased self-esteem and physical health?
Yes. So basically, you know, holistic health is both physical health and mental health. So it's easy to understand how self-esteem can be connected to good mental well-being, because when we have higher self-esteem, we are more positive. We prioritize self-care. We have a more positive outlook on life. So actually, according to research, we tend to experience lowest level of stress and anxiety. So of course, we're able to reframe negative things more quickly. So to be able to see the positive and shift faster, right? And this has an impact on physical health too, because if I'm prioritizing self-care, then this means that I'm going to look after myself more. And this means perhaps going to the doctor for that checkup that I have been, you know, postponing for months and so on. Treating myself with respect means also in my health.
Okay. And then what about self-assertiveness?
Yeah. So self-assertiveness, as you remember from some episodes ago that we were talking about this, is really the ability to advocate for myself. And it's a key aspect of self-esteem because it means I'm going to treat myself with respect in all human encounters. So it means I'm going to speak up also at the doctor if I believe that I'm not being treated well. You know, how, like, for years, specifically also in clinical trials and in situations at the doctor, women might have been treated a little bit as imaginary invalids in the past. I was talking yesterday about this with a scientist on this topic. And actually, you know, if we have the ability to speak up more, not only women, but also men, just anyone, I think we could increase our level of health, also our emotional health, which is not so talked about at the doctors, I think, still. We're getting there, but yeah.
Is this something that can be taught? And where do we start?
Yes, for sure. So I am a big advocate for teaching self-esteem in schools and university. Actually, I do teach it at University of St. Gallen. However, for workplace, it's a little bit more complicated. Perhaps they call it resilience, or perhaps it's just, you know, having the ability to make people believe in themselves. I think there is still a long way to go, but it can be absolutely taught, and it's a question of skilling ourselves.
And where do we start in that? What are the top, if I want to increase my self-esteem as of today, what are the things that I need to start doing?
So first of all, get to know yourself. So this self-inquiry, which can take a lifetime, honestly, but it's also about changing our personal narrative. So not only the bad things about ourselves need to be considered, but also the positive things is really an effective strategy to challenge your own negative thoughts. So for example, having a diary and write every day two good things that are really good about you. I do that every day. And also setting realistic goals, so we're not always demoralized if we set up for perfection. And also
Very nice.
Self-care. Yeah, self-care okay. and taking care of ourselves.
So it all starts there. And it doesn't sound like it's just so much of a gratitude diary. It sounds like it's just two positive things about yourself. That's very personal. And sometimes it's very difficult to do that. You feel like you might be too overly confident. But even if they're just like little things, I guess, I like the way I handled that situation today. Or I like the
Precisely.
Way that I gave myself a little bit of downtime, even if it's just something as simple as that. Alessandra, thank you. You're so good at reminding mm-hmm. us how to take care of ourselves and how a little bit more self-esteem could really actually mm-hmm. help out in our mental health, even our physical health, and also, of course, in the workplace. So thank you so much for doing that. Alessandra Patti, founder of Find Your Way Coaching, talking about self-esteem. Thanks, Alessandra.
Thank you for having me. Bye.